Good morning. It's 11th of July. Our first reading for today is 1 Samuel 24. I'm going to read to you from Brother Harry Tennant's book, The Man David. Yesterday's chapter in Samuel told us about David's deliverance. I now read. David, thankful for his deliverance, did not remain at Maon. He pushed further south, down towards En-Gedi by the Dead Sea. There was a fountain in those parts, and the water from the rocks gave life to the palms and vines which flourished in the tropical or subtropical heat. There were caves in the hillsides, and rocky escarpments affording some protection to the refugees. The recently discovered caves of the Dead Sea Scrolls are an example of the many hiding places which this region contains. Qumran, however, is nearer the northern end of the Dead Sea than En-Gedi, which lies opposite the Midwest shore. There were flocks near the living water, wild goats on the rocks and sheep on the lower slopes. Although less than 40 miles from Bethlehem, it was like another world. News of David's latest hideout reached Saul soon after his return from the battle with the Philistines. He took his standing army of 3,000 men and appeared at En-Gedi. As he passed by the sheepcotes, he took rest in a place in the hillside, a cave in the rocks. Inside were David and his men. David's men were jubilant. This was obviously a providential meeting. Remembering all the prayers which David had offered for guidance, knowing his complete trust in the overruling providence of the God in heaven, the men were certain that this was the day of complete deliverance. Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand. The pressures on David were tremendous. To have the king powerless in his grasp, and to let him go. It is remarkable that he did no more than cut away a portion of the king's outer robe, though he repented even of this but minutes afterwards. As the king went away and was a distance from the cave, he heard, My lord the king! David faced Saul, stooping in obeisance. There was little need for exchange of words. David held the proof in his own hand, and Saul in the garment on his body, that David's cause was righteous. The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee. Saul was reduced to tears at the voice of his son, David. He poured out the thoughts of his own heart, saying, If a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? The troops must have looked on in amazement, and David's men in sheer wonder at this remarkable exchange. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him, as we read in Proverbs 16. Saul then made known the conviction of his soul and the fear which chased him through all the labyrinths of melancholy and evil deeds. I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. So they parted, Saul and his men through the heat to Gibeah of Saul, David once more into the fold. Perhaps the harp sounded through the still night air at En-Gedi, carrying with it the song of deliverance. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit within me was overwhelmed, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. But God was with him, and God is all powerful. Thank you for listening.